have in connection to that, whether we're a father or a son or a wife or a daughter. Lord, we pray that we would honor you through honoring the role of fathers today. Thank you for this time. Speak to us through your word. We commit this all to you in Jesus' name. Ask for you to be glorified. Amen. Well, this morning is Father's Day, and so I'd like for all the fathers to stand up. If there's father here, please stand up. Let's give these men a big hand. Keep standing up. Keep standing up. Keep standing up, because we have something else for you. I'd like Dan and Ben to come up right now. You know, it's not always easy to be a dad. And so we want to give you this little gift of appreciation. We decided that to help you celebrate the day, it might be good for you to have, what do you got in your bag there, Ben?
Mr. Goodbar.
Yeah, Mr. Goodbar and a bottle of Dad's root beer for all these good guys out here. You know, it's not easy to be a dad in this world. So we need to pray for our fathers, pray for all fathers, and realize that this is something, fatherhood is something that was created by God and is to be honored. And there's a few fathers here that aren't, today, so we might leave a few of these behind for you to pass out next week. But have you noticed that the world is constantly trying to tear down fathers? In movies, in the media, seems like that fathers are always becoming the scapegoats. They're routinely blamed for how kids turn out, whether that's just or unjust. We have to ask ourselves, why is that? Why do you think the world, our own flesh, and the devil are against fathers? I think it's because that it's a God-given authority. And the devil is trying to break down every form of God-given authority in the world. We see it right now, attack on our police force. You know, let's destroy the image of a godly policeman, or a politician, or a father, or a pastor. Any form of God-given authority is being attacked in this day and age. So it's really important for us to look at the Word and understand better what it is to be a godly father, and how we, the fathers that are here today, can be a better God-pleasing father. But before we begin, I want to ask you to participate. It's a small group here today, but I want you to tell me what you understand to be some God-given roles for the father. What is the father supposed to do for his children according to the Bible? Go ahead and just shout them out. What is a father? I need like three or four answers. What's a father supposed to do for his children? Discipline them. Okay?
Protect.
Be an example. Good. Love them.
Teach them.
Now we got seven from this side. We need. Over there, two. What was that over here?
Provide.
Good. And guide. Those are some great, great answers. Well, let's look at a few verses to help nail down these functions of fatherhood. We want to make sure that that we're following God's word and not just our own understanding. So turn with me. We're going to look at about four or five different verses, and then today we're going to look at an illustration of a good father in the Bible, a father that helped his son to succeed. I think you'll find that very interesting. But first, let's look at a few verses on fatherhood. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, a well-known passage. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. Am I too loud or just right?
Oh, okay.
Just right. Okay. Thanks, Jill. All right. After Stan was up here, I knew I needed to raise the mic, so I didn't know if I got too close. But so Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7. And these words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. I guess fathers sat in their house back then too. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So according to these verses, what's the function of fathering in these verses? What's the role of a father? To teach, right? To teach. Sometimes I think we as dads don't teach as much as we should. This is a God-given function and a role that we have to take advantage of. And today, with the busyness of our own work schedules, the busyness of our kids, we have to take advantage of every opportunity as fathers, you know. And so the Bible, knowing that already, though written thousands of years ago, this passage, it knew that we had to take advantage of every opportunity, and therefore God instructs us to be teaching his ways to our children, to our sons and daughters, when we sit in the house, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, and when we rise up. We have to be fathers and mothers too, but especially fathers today, we have to be interpreters of life for our children. And it's as we go through the day, as we get up and we eat breakfast, we're reading the newspaper, as we're driving the kids to school, life's going by, we are to be interpreting that through a biblical lens for our children. That's the function of a father. Don't just sit back and let life go by. Interpret life for them. Teach them God's ways along the way. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to be reading verses 5b through 11. Hebrews 12, 5b through 11. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So, in this verse, what's the function of a father? Christina already said it earlier. It's to discipline the children. Discipline the children. Too often this role, this function of the father gets relegated to the mother or the wife. You go take care of that problem. I'm busy reading my newspaper, whatever. The father is given the primary role and responsibility of disciplining the children. I think in America, fathers have fallen short in this capacity. Fathers might yell at their kids when they get frustrated with them, but true godly discipline for the children's good is often neglected. And I just want to remind all of us that still have fathers that may be disciplining us, Dan and Ben and others, that that the Father, as if you look here, that the Father disciplined as seemed best to him, verse 10. We have to confess as fathers that we're not perfect, right? We make mistakes. Just like it says in James chapter 3, verse 2, that we're subject to many types of failure. But we are doing our best. And if you will submit as children to our discipline, what is the result of it? At the end of verse 11, there's a peace. There's a peaceful fruit of righteousness. So fathers, don't forget your role to one, train and teach in all life circumstances, and also to be disciplining. And sometimes that discipline is painful. Here's a less well-known verse that's really good. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 38. This is another verse, or actually function, that is often neglected by fathers, but is extremely important. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 19. This verse is, the context of this is when Hezekiah was healed and is later is giving thanks to the Lord. After his healing, King Hezekiah writes these verses, and 19 gives us a principle, a function of fatherhood that's extremely important. Isaiah 38, 19. It is the living who give thanks to thee, as I do today. A father tells his sons about thy faithfulness. A father tells his sons about thy faithfulness. It's really important, dads here today, that you are sharing with your sons how God has been faithful in your life. God's going to be faithful to your children individually, personally, but it's really important for you to tell your stories of how he's been faithful to you. This is what a father is to do. This is the function of a godly father. This builds up your children. They are lifted. You hear about sons being lifted up on the shoulders of their fathers. They're also lifted up on the shoulders of your faith. And it's when you share of God's faithfulness to you in your life, this will encourage your son that God will be faithful to them as well. This is an important function of fatherhood. For sake of time, I'm going to read you another verse. It's Psalm 103:13, and it says, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Fathers, we're not only to be a rock for our family in terms of faith, in terms of consistent discipline and teaching, but we're also to show compassion. You know, I've found in my own life that if I know that my dad understands, it doesn't matter who else does. If my father understands, then I feel stable and confident that although maybe the teacher didn't understand or this friend or this other situation, if the father understands, then I feel confident, I feel peaceful. And this is part of showing compassion, fathers, is that we have to show our children that we understand, that we're there and we care, we understand. This gives your child great stability. So a father needs to show compassion, and that's what the Heavenly Father does as well. Before we look at our biblical example of a father that helped his son succeed, I want us to look at one more verse that gives three important functions of a father. This is one of my favorites, 1 Thessalonians. So turn with me to this. This is one you want to keep marked in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to be focusing in on verses 10 through 12. But I need to give you a little context first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul is talking to the Thessalonian church. He's speaking to them of how when he ministered there in Thessalonica, that he really, really cared about them as a people. And he served them in a selfless way. And to explain that, he speaks of how he served them like a mother and as a father. And if you look in verse 7, he talks about how he served them as a mother. In verse 7, it says, "We proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." Verse 8, "Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." When I look at these verses and think about Georgia interacting with the boys, I see that motherhood coming out, that gentleness, that fond affection, that tender care. These are some important things, and if this was Mother's Day, I'd be focusing longer on those functions of a mother. But if we go down a little further, we see there's a different list of functions for the father that are extremely important as well, but different. I'll pick up in verse 10. "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." The three functions of a father in this verse is to exhort, encourage, and implore. The mother's busy about gently caring for and nurturing the children, but here the father is to exhort, encourage, and implore. What does it mean to exhort? To exhort has the connotation of giving instruction and sometimes warning or caution of something. It's a "you should." You should do this. This is important. You're exhorting your children. Encouraging, "you can do it." And imploring is, "please do." It's imploring is more of a petition. It's "please, my son, follow the ways of the Lord. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Encouraging, "son, you can do this. You, I see this in you. You can walk in the ways of the Lord. I see him working in your life." Exhorting, "son, if you walk in the ways of the Lord, he will bless you. You need to study the word, son. You need to follow the ways of the Lord and be blessed by him." Fathers, we need to be realizing that these functions, these God-given functions, exhort, encourage, implore, are given to us in the Word of God. This is our role. It's explicit. It's different than the mother's. So I just encourage you, if you take nothing more from this sermon, we're going to get some more good things coming up here. But if you get nothing more, go back to this verse and remember these three words: exhort, encourage, and implore your children. Okay, now we're going to look at a good example of fatherhood in the Bible. Now, there's some negative examples of fatherhood in the Bible, right? So we have Eli the priest. His sons were messing around at the gate of the sanctuary, and he took heat for that. He took punishment from the Lord for that because he didn't father them as he should. We have Saul, who wasn't exhorting his sons, but more exasperating Jonathan, remember? When Jonathan went to eat some honey, and Saul said, "I'm going to kill anybody that eats anything," and different ways, throwing spears at his son. He's exasperating his son. We see Lot, not with sons, but with daughters, having a really negative relationship there. And he probably should have taken his family out of that situation, right? It took his daughters into a place that they shouldn't have been. We see Noah getting drunk before his sons, negative example, and affecting Ham. He's cursed from that. And actually, even the father that we're going to study here in a moment wasn't always a perfect example, but he was in helping his son succeed. And we're going to see how he helped his son succeed. And I hope for fathers, that's going to give you inspiration in how you can help your children succeed. So turn with me now to an interesting proverb, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. This is the New American Standard Version. You may have a different version, but just try to follow along as best you can. And there's an important part here, that a couple important parts that I hope you'll catch. I'll help you in a second. Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget, do not nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. So, as all of you know, but just to keep you mentally engaged, who was the author of most of the Proverbs? Solomon, right? Solomon was the author of most of the Proverbs. If you look carefully at verse 3, maybe you've never seen this before, but Solomon himself was taught by his father. Look at verse 3. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. Who was Solomon's father? King David, right? Solomon's father was King David. Who was Solomon's mother? Bathsheba. But if you look at, Georgia, maybe you could get me a glass of water. My voice is getting low. If you look carefully at this, verse 3, some versions say it a little different, but the most literal translation is, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. Now, Bathsheba had other children. She had three other children, Shammua, Shobab, and Nathan. There's the Bible trivia for you. Bathsheba had Shammua, Shobab, and Nathan in addition to Solomon. But Solomon was the second. The first, remember, passed away. Solomon was the oldest son, living son. But what does it say here? When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. So if Bathsheba had three other sons, and he was at this time the only son in the sight of his mother, he had to still be quite young. And what was happening when he was quite young? David was teaching him. What was David teaching him? What's the gist, the most important part of what David was teaching him? Seek wisdom. Acquire wisdom. Now, go with me forward. We'll say probably, so if Solomon's the only son at this time, he might have been only under 10 years of age. And under 10 years of age, King David is teaching his son Solomon, son, if there's one thing that's important, it's this, acquire wisdom. Now let's fast forward, probably, I don't know, maybe another 10 years, 15 years. And Solomon is a young king. What is the famous story that you remember about Solomon when he was a young king? Remember one day, God came, before he says, I'm going to cut this kid in half and you can have half, he had to have great wisdom to do, make that decision. Before that, there was an event. Solomon goes to a high place, I think it was Gibeah, and he offers up 1,000 sacrifices. We're going to talk about that in a second. But after that, God appears to him and it says, basically, it's like the genie in the bottle. If you can have anything, Solomon, what would you want? What do you want? What did Solomon say? He said, wisdom. Let's turn there. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. chapter 1. Sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. So, now Solomon, the son of David, established himself securely over his kingdom. Verse 1. Going down to verse 6. And Solomon went up there before the Lord to the bronze altar, which was at the tent of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Verse 7. In that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, "Thou hast dealt with my father David with great loving kindness and has made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, thy promise to my father David is fulfilled, for thou hast made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of thine?" And God said to Solomon, "Because you had this in mind, and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you ever even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you." Often we think of this, you know, boy, that was really smart of Solomon to ask for wisdom. But you know why I think he asked for that? Because he was taught that. This is what you need to acquire. This is what's most important, son, since he was little. It had been drilled in his head by his father. His father had taught him how to succeed. If King David hadn't said, "Son, from a tender age, when you're the only son in the sight of your mother, what's most important, son, is to acquire wisdom, acquire understanding," he might have asked for something else. It shows you, fathers, how important it is to be instilling the correct values in your children from when they're little up. Because one day, it may come about where they're going to lean upon that teaching, and it's going to give them success. And that's what we see here in Solomon's life. There's a few other ways of wisdom that we see in David's fathering. If we're going to take a few minutes and look at, if you turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. David is old now, and he's going to turn over the kingdom to Solomon. But before he does, he serves as a godly father to help ensure Solomon's success. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1. Then David said, no, we'll go start at verse 6. Then David called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, I have intended to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood on earth before me. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest.'" That's what Solomon means, is peaceful. "And I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side, and his name shall be Solomon, and I will give him peace and quiet. Give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." Right here in these first few verses, Solomon is envisioning his son. David is envisioning his son. Solomon's going to take over the kingship soon, and David is envisioning him. This is a form of imploring, of exhorting, that we already saw in 1 Thessalonians is the function of the father. Let's move on in verse 11. "Now, my son, the Lord be with you, that you may be successful and build the house of the Lord your God, just as he has spoken concerning you. Only the Lord give you discretion and understanding and give you charge over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God." In these two verses, 11 and 12, David, functioning as a godly and good father, blesses his son. He blesses his son. Do you see that? He asked the Lord to be with him. The Lord would be with him, that he would be successful, that the Lord would give Solomon discretion and understanding, and that Solomon would keep the law of the Lord. This is an important function and a way that David helped his son succeed, is that he blessed him. Not only did he envision, but here he's blessing his son. Fathers, how often do you bless your children? You say, well, who am I? I'm not some big religious figure. I'm not a pastor. I'm not this or that. I'm not the Pope. I'm not, my blessing doesn't count for anything. It does. In God's order of things, the way he's established it, your words of blessing upon your children have great power. And you should bless your children in prayer to help them succeed. Verse 13, then you shall prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and ordinances which the Lord commanded Moses concerning Israel. I'm going to save the second part. Here David is exhorting Solomon. He's exhorting his son. He says, son, if you're careful to observe the Lord's commands, you're going to prosper. So all of you that are still young sons, if your father says, sons, if you observe God's commands, you're going to prosper. If you don't, you're not. He's exhorting you. David did not fail to exhort his son. But then, in the second half of 13, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Here he's encouraging his son. Remember the three functions of a father in 1 Thessalonians was what? To exhort, to encourage, and to implore. Here David has already implored his son. Son, God's given you this opportunity to build his house. He didn't let me. He's set up for you. He's envisioning him, imploring him. He's encouraged him. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Be dismayed. You're going to have victory. You're going to have success. But he's also exhorting him. But if you follow the Lord's commands, you got to follow the Lord's commands, son. Then in 14, he says, now behold, with great pains I have prepared for the house of the Lord. Another function of David's fatherhood that helped Solomon succeed is he helped prepare for his son. He made preparations. He didn't say, okay, now it's all yours. My hands are completely off. I'm going to go take a snooze. He had already helped prepare in advance. And related to that, look at verse 17. Verse 17, he says, David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help his son. David helped connect Solomon with helpful people. People that could help Solomon succeed. These are principles of fatherhood. If you want your son to succeed, you have to be about envisioning him. You have to be about encouraging him, exhorting him. You also have to help make preparations for your son and then help connect him to helpful people that will help him succeed. David didn't just do this out of his own wisdom. God is directing David here because he wants Solomon to be successful. He's going to use Solomon to create the temple and to become make Israel prosperous. This is God's plan. He's giving David wisdom in fathering his son. Turn to 1 Chronicles 28 now, please. David now is addressing Solomon in a more public way, and turn back. We're just winging it here, right, Stan? Turn back to 23 verse 1, and there's another function here that's important. 23 verse 1. So David's already said to his son in above in verse 16, arise, work, and may the Lord be with you. And he commands people to help Solomon. Then 23 verse 1. Now when David reached old age, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. That's a significant verse. What was the pattern of most kings? Their sons becoming king. And what was the pattern? They'd die first, right? The king would die first, and then the son, and you can have it when I'm dead. I'm going to hold on to it like with an iron grasp until I'm dead. You can have it then. No, before David died, he made Solomon king. He set his son up, he helped prepare for him, and then he put him in position, and he stepped back. That's wisdom. You have to make those, be wise in those ways when it's right to empower your children, your sons and daughters, and then step back. You don't abandon them, but it was time for David to step back. And this helped Solomon succeed. Now turn to chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 9. We've got a couple more principles, and then we're going to wrap it up. Verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the Lord, the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act. You know, there's great power when a father says to his son, here it is, son, and God be with you, and he's going to help you. If you remain faithful to him and follow his ways, he's going to empower you. But then he says to him, in the verse, end of verse 10, he says, be courageous and act. Fathers, you might not remember, but you might realize that when a father empowers you and says, son, now's the time, be courageous and act, that's very empowering. If a father's telling you to hang back and never says, it's your turn, son, now act, do it, you can do it. This is the encouragement of a father. Solomon, now be courageous and act. So fathers, don't forget the importance of encouraging your sons to act. We got a lot of weak-willed men in the world today, and they're unsure of everything they do, and the father never releases them to act. Fathers, empower your sons in this way, like David did. And again, this is not just David's opinion. God's behind this. God wants Solomon to succeed. Verse 11, then David gave to his son the plan. So he's still saying, here's, you know, how it should be, but you act, you carry it out. Okay, verse 20, then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Fathers, you got to tell your sons and remind them that God's faithful. He's going to help you. He's going to see you through, son. Do not fear. Be strong, courageous, and act. Go forward. Be a man of God. This is how David helped Solomon succeed. And then finally, in chapter 29, David sets a godly example. He ends with here with a godly example for Solomon to follow. A godly example in prayer, praise, humility, and sacrifice. Okay, chapter 29, verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, including Solomon. Solomon's still watching. And David said, blessed art thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. David is already a great king. Here he's giving glory to God. Thine is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, thy glorious name and thy glorious name. But who am I? You see how David is exalting God here in the presence of all these people and his son? He's saying before his son's already looked at his father's had successful kingship, but he's now hearing from his father say to God, you're the one who gave it all. You're the one who gives success. It's all about you. Who am I? Who am I? It's you, God. Now look with me back at 2 Chronicles. This is quite interesting. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. By the way, after David did this, he gave 1,000 sacrifices, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs. And when we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, when Solomon offers up burnt offerings, how many did he give? 1,000. He's following the pattern of his dad. But more interesting yet, David said, who am I? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2, starting verse 5. Solomon is now speaking. David's out of the picture. Solomon writes, and the house which I am about to build will be great, for greater is our God than all the gods. But who is able to build a house for him? For the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain him. So, who am I? Who am I? This echoes his father. His father humbly said before God, who am I without you, God? You do it all. Now here's Solomon saying, who am I? Fathers, don't forget the example that you are to be for your sons. They hear your words. They hear your praise. They hear your prayers. So in review a little bit today, some functions for a father. We started at the beginning. The fathers are to be about teaching. Don't relegate that to Sunday school, to the youth group. Don't relegate that to mom. Maybe she knows more of the Bible or whatever. You, father, are to be teaching your sons and daughters. You're also to discipline. Don't leave that to the principal. Don't leave that to mom. Don't just leave that to the wind. You are to discipline, and it speaks of scourging your sons. The Father God's scourging, that wasn't just a reprimand with words. It's not always painless. And then in Isaiah 38, it talks about telling your sons about God's faithfulness. You have to speak about how God's been faithful to you. Then in Psalms 103, it talks about the father being compassionate. You're the one that's important to your children. Your understanding, your care, Father. And then in Thessalonians, it talks about exhorting, encouraging, and imploring. And then we've seen in Proverbs that Solomon probably asked for wisdom above all things, riches, long life, and the heads of his enemies, because his father had taught him from a little age, when he was the only one in the sight of his mother, that above all things, son, acquire wisdom. And this started Solomon on the path of success. But towards the end of his ministry, his kingship, when he's handing over the throne to Solomon, David empowers Solomon. He helps him succeed by 1, envisioning him, 2, blessing him, 3, exhorting and encouraging him, 4, helping to make some preparations and plans for Solomon, 5, connecting him with helpful people, 6, handing it over to him and stepping back but not leaving, 7, and finally, setting an example, godly example for Solomon in prayer, praise, humility, sacrifice, trust in the Lord, Solomon. He's the one that can bring it to pass. So it's with that I want to encourage you as fathers. May the word of the Lord speak to your heart. Meditate on what you've heard this morning. Where do you need to change? What do you need to improve on? And mothers, how can you pray for your husband or your son or your son-in-law so that they can be the father that they need to be, so that our church can be strong, so that our children can be strong? What can you do now to help these things come to pass? Help fathers father in the way they ought. And sons and daughters, how can you learn from your father? How can you see God's made a plan here? That's his plan for him to do these things in my life. And how can I interact in a pleasing way and learn and be successful, having learned from my father? This is a wonderful thing for us to meditate upon today, as it being Father's Day. And I trust that God's word, his living, active word, and his Holy Spirit in your life will give you food to chew upon, if you will, from this message. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this good example of fatherhood, and David helping Solomon succeed from the outset, from a young age, instilling these principles that would bring him success, that would be a wreath upon his head, ornaments around his neck, that would end up giving him long life and a hope and a future. Lord, help us, in whatever role we have in connection to fatherhood, whether we're a father, whether we're a son, a wife, a daughter, Lord, to esteem these things. This is your plan, to uphold these things, to fall in line with these things. Lord, that your name ultimately would be glorified. Like David prayed, that ultimately it's all from you, and you would be praised. We give thanks, Lord, for the word, that you don't leave us to our own imagination. Help us to be obedient to it. Speak to us through it, we pray. And we thank you again for our fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. And one last thing before I step down. There's a person today that I would like to honor, and she's on your left side,